What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Mark Durkin.
Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
And welcome to Education America, where we are taking steps to save the classroom so that we can save the country. Come along with us every Saturday night here on AM 1280 The Patriot at 6 o'clock sharp. K through 12 education is the playing field, and as the 16th President Abraham Lincoln so succinctly stated, he said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. I'm Mark Durkin, joined again by my co-host and founder of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom.
Yeah, good afternoon, good evening. Yes. So glad to be with you today.
Such a hectic time of year, is it not?
I know. We've got a lot going with all these school board races.
Absolutely. It is October, and that means next month school board elections will be happening all across the state of Minnesota, all the way up until Election Day, November 2nd. Candidates for school boards in different parts of the Twin Cities Metro will continue to join us here on Education America to discuss who they are, why they are running for school board seats, and the challenges that their districts are facing.
Mm-hmm. And tonight we have two candidates joining us who are running for school board seats in separate school districts. John Ficadenti is running for a school board seat in District 624, the White Bear Lake Public School District. And Kayla Hauser is running for a school board seat in District 196, Rosemount, Apple Valley, Eagan. Thank you both for joining us here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, glad that it worked out. So, Kayla, let's start with you. Why are you running for a seat on the Rosemount Apple Valley Eagan School District? I'm not going to keep saying that. That's too many words at once. And then how many seats are actually needing to be filled on the school board? And then what do you believe is the most important responsibility of a school board?
Sure,
lots
sure.
Of questions in one.
Yeah, no, I love it. Well, to clarify, there is a total of 7 seats in District 196, but only 3 are open during this election, November 2nd.
Okay.
2 of the 3 incumbents are rerunning, with the 3rd stepping down from being on the board since 1989.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
Yeah. There are many things that are motivating me to run for the school board. One of those reasons is I want to give the parents a voice in their children's education.
Mm-hmm.
The current school board members do not consider all sides when making decisions. They lack a balanced viewpoint and refuse to listen to some parents' concerns.
Mm-hmm.
They tell us not to question their policies and cut out public forum and limit how many people can speak at a meeting. Mm-hmm. I have a strong work ethic, integrity, passion, and experience in helping children succeed, and I am a former graduate of District 196 and have completed all of my K through 12 education in this district.
Hmm.
My only home is in District 196, where my children receive their education. This is our home and not just a number on a paper. My
sure.
husband and I worked very hard to working multiple jobs to achieve our dream and raising our children in this district.
Hmm.
I'm currently a teacher as well, and I have been for 6 years locally, working in childcare with our very diverse community in 196.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got lots of connections to the area.
Yeah.
So you care about the school.
Absolutely.
And what's happening to the students and what they're learning and how they're learning and all of the important elements of accountability and that type of thing.
Yeah, so. I feel like with my previous experience with helping our children of all ages in the pursuit of learning and being able to succeed with essential life skills, I believe that we should have all school boards that will be open, honest, and listen to the families in our district. Who knows our children better than the parents of District 186,
right.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, we need a board that is open to all ideas, thoughts, and feelings regarding our children and their education and their future.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah, let's turn it over to John Ficcadenti. Yeah. Again, he's running for a school board seat in District 624 of White Bear Lake School District. John, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, why are you running for a seat on the school board, and what do you believe is the most important responsibility of a school board?
Well, you know, all districts, the crown jewel are the schools, there's no doubt. It affects so many people. You have it makes great citizens of our youth. All the school districts do. It's one of the largest employers of a community, and it should affect people's property values in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, it's like jury duty. We need quality people on these school boards. We need a representation of people from across the community to weigh in on what's happening with the school district. You can't be too heavy with people that represent the education area, the fields. You need people that can speak. I've been self-employed for many, many years. And the true job is you have to be a goodwill ambassador. And if you truly care, and you're not beholden to any groups, unions, or anything like that, if you truly care about the kids, families, and communities, you should be involved in the process. And much like what people are saying right now, our school boards aren't allowing any dialogue, okay? And that's right. That's what upsets the community. And you need people that can take a look objectively at what's the strengths of our school district, and where do we need work? Where do we need to work? You know, how can we make things better? So that's why I want to be involved. I think every community member should be involved in the school board at some point in time.
Yeah, I agree. It's very important for people to stay involved in what's happening in the school, whether or not their kids have grown and left the community or not. I know one of the other people running in White Bear, who we just had on last week, is also a retired gentleman, and said that he really believes exactly what you just said there, John, that there needs to be a reflection of diversity on the school board. There can't be everybody just representing the school or everybody just representing the parents. There needs to be kind of some diverse opinions. And that's the way a board typically works the best, is if you have people coming from various backgrounds and bringing their gifts to the table and representing various constituencies.
Yeah. See, if I were on the school board, I don't want you necessarily to agree with what I'm saying, but I want you to hear what I'm saying.
There we go.
Okay. Have all sides, exactly.
There we go.
And then we can arrive at a consensus that works for the community, not one side or the other. And that's what we need in these school boards across the nation is what we need.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely. And in speaking of, you know, getting various viewpoints and then also having maybe an imbalance of people that are just in education that are on school boards, I'd like to ask you, Kayla Hauser, you mentioned the number of seats that are open in District 196. What are your thoughts on the educator-endorsed or union-backed candidates for those open school board seats?
Yeah, you know, I believe it's very interesting that the union has only picked one incumbent and not both. I think it's also interesting that on their group flyers that they recently mailed out, and which was also paid for by the union and not the candidates or their supporters, that they talk about community involvement, collaboration with parents, welcoming schools for all, and increasing the achievement for all students. All of these things are items that have been slowly removed while ART has been on the board since 2008. So how can we be putting out information like this and have a platform saying he wants these things now during the campaign time, but not while he has been on the board? What worries me about the union-endorsed candidates is that they will speak only for the union and not on behalf of the parents, families, and taxpayers. The school board should be the people's representation, just like the teachers' union is generally the teachers' representation.
Yeah, I find it interesting, actually. That's a conversation that I have never had with people who are really in the know about elections and that type of thing, is how is it that the unions can back particular candidates? I suppose they're free to do whatever they want to do. And they do that, of course, at the national level and the state level. But it's not as we aren't as aware of it at the local level like this in a school board election. But, you know, you raise a good point, Kayla, that it's a little bit interesting that if the teachers unions represent the teachers and the school boards are supposed to represent the parents. Isn't there a little conflict of interest there?
Yes.
That the unions can endorse school board candidates. I don't know. It's just a thought that just came into my head as I'm talking to you right now. It seems a little bit inconsistent. All right. Well, John, we're going to move over to you again here. And we see images across the internet and television today of contentious exchanges taking place across the country between frustrated parents of students and school board. It's interesting because we've got a national news TV right on behind us. And I just saw a headline about the angry school board parents and that people are lashing out against them now. So there is a lot of contention. It's kind of going both directions. Mm-hmm. So, John, why are so many school boards facing public backlash and turmoil?
Well, I guess it's pretty simple. Any relationship, husband, wife, sister, brother, you need communication. If one person feels like they're not being heard, it upsets people, mm-hmm. okay? Now, you look at the White Bear Lake School District School Board. They offer a public open forum, and here's the deal. It's a half hour, and each person is, you can only speak for 3 minutes. And the last two public forums were shut down.
Mm-hmm.
When you stop the conversation, especially when people really have something to say, that's where the contention comes from. The school board, you have to be a goodwill ambassador. You can't always just listen to people who agree with you,
mm-hmm.
okay? That doesn't do anybody any good. So the school boards are bringing this all on themselves because they just aren't having a very good open line of communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is important, and I am hearing that report. I just heard that report about another school district here in the Twin Cities where they were limiting conversation. And I know in the case of White Bear, I think they were shutting it down because somebody wasn't wearing a mask or something like that. But, you know, there's always going to be some reason that you can choose to shut down a meeting, whether that's actually constitutional
right.
or legal. I don't think it really is, and I really don't know, but I think some of these parents are going to start challenging the school boards on that level.
That
we've had that at
96.
Have you?
Yeah.
Where they shut it down and just said, okay, we're done with conversation.
Pretty much where they did a recess, and we did go back after 10 minutes, but there were police that were called for parents wanting to discuss.
Speak up.
Yes, they wanted to talk.
And they weren't terrorist threats, right?
No, absolutely not, as we're labeled now.
Right.
There's the proof right now that both sides are not being given a chance to be heard. It's either
yes.
our way or we're shutting it down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
going to only continue to cause emotions to boil over.
Yes, this divide is becoming so strong. Kayla, can you describe for our listeners how the Rosemont Apple Valley District responded to COVID-19? As a candidate for school board, what do you believe should be the district's response to masks and vaccines? That's one of the hot topics.
It is. I believe that in the beginning, District 196 did as advised based upon not having much for scientific data. Over time and with scientific data collected, which was gathered around the world, we have learned a lot and we have reached a point where we don't classify children as super spreaders as they were once labeled.
Mm-hmm.
We know more about how to protect ourselves and our children without making our children live in fear every day. And I think District 196 did well on our initial response compared to other states, but there are some areas in which we could do better. For example, I believe Governor Waltz did recognize and acknowledge that each region within our state was affected differently as the virus entered their community. He made a good decision to allow districts to individually decide what schools should do for reopening policies
mm-hmm.
rather than making a rule across the board for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I would have done differently would be allowing parents in those schools to have a stronger say in what is healthy and safe for their own child and not leaving it up to the school board alone to make that mm-hmm. decision. Every person's body reacts differently, develops differently, and learns differently. And we should respect that and respect all parents' concerns. And we should not set across the board mandates, which may discriminate against some individuals. Mm-hmm. I believe it's very harsh and demeaning to pick and choose what is classified as essential and non-essential, as they did. But it sends the wrong message when our government chooses if it's bad to work out or gather for religious reasons, but say it's good to eat fast food, alcohol, and play scratch-offs during a pandemic. I mean, before coronavirus, we still had germs of all kind, minor and major. People made their own decisions if they were going to make a risky choice in their life, whether it's driving their car, the food they ingested, or who they interact with. I think we need to get back to that and learn to move forward with positivity as well as not live in fear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want to give John Ficadenti an opportunity to chime in on that too as well, as far as the White Bear Lake School District is concerned. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead, John?
Well, you know, freedom of family decisions don't stop at the doorways of school districts. When it comes to the mitigation efforts, there's so many mixed messages out there. I mean, you have schools across the metro. If I'm not mistaken, Liberty Classical Academy, I don't think you're wearing masks, correct?
It's mask optional. Mm-hmm.
Okay, a mask optional. I mean, you could take your son or daughter to a Minnesota Viking football game with 65,000 people.
Right.
You don't have to wear a mask. Then you can go out to dinner afterward, not have to wear a mask. But then the very next day, you take your son or daughter to school, you have to mask them up. The inconsistency in the mixed message of that is baffling to me, okay?
Yep.
So why can't we take that freedom of choice and use that in our school district? And when the school board tells us they have as many people that want to wear the mask that don't, show me the statistics on that. That's what I want to see. If you can provide that with people, you take a lot of guesswork out of it. That's what we need to see. And then what is going to support, when will we go maskless? What are we going to use to take people out of the masks?
Mm. So, yeah, that's a good question there. Yeah, what would be their criteria for making that change?
And a lot, if I could just interject here real quick, too, a lot of the fallout that we don't hear about are the psychological, the mental struggles that kids have being masked up 8 hours a day, or the gum disease. I've spoken to orthodontists where they're seeing an increase in dental health issues because of the habitual mask wearing. Yeah. You don't hear about any of these things.
Well, and you don't learn to read and write, or excuse me, read, not write so much, but they're all connected. But if you've got kindergarten, first grade age kids, phonemic awareness is so important. Watching the lips of the teacher as she's sounding out words, those are all critical to learning reading skills. And we know from looking at the research that the kids are behind after a year.
Yep.
Some of it's because they were online. You know, that's a big part of it, too. But I interviewed a teacher for a position last year who was working in a complete masked environment. And she said it is so hard to teach sounds and language to children when they can't see your lips and you can't see theirs. And she said, these kids are behind. They're not learning to read because they cannot see my mouth. Mm-hmm. And so I look at that as just a criminal. We have to teach kids how to read or they are going to be behind for the rest of their lives. It's very difficult to catch up. So, Kayla, you were going to add something.
No, I mean, I was just going to say, like, back, this was a piece back in the Dakota County newsletter, their fall and winter, and they were just so excited to announce that Dakota County reached the 70% in early June, meeting their goal of vaccination rates before July. But in my opinion, it's like, when are we going to get back to the way we were, especially like in our schools?
Sure.
Is that going to be 80%, 90%? Yeah. Are we not going to factor in other accountabilities? And, you know, it's just, where does it end? And I think it's unfortunate our children are the ones being left behind right now. They're the ones still being in lockdown of fear of contracting this and spreading it, where we see in other places gathering that it's okay and safe and that people are being responsible with their bodies. I mean, I was just at a homecoming game recently and the stands were filled. Everyone was happy, but all those kids earlier in the day were masked up. And living in fear, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, the kids don't have a lot of say. That's one of the things that I think is a fallout from the way our political system works. It's so much based upon money, how much money you can give and how much money to support a cause and influence. And children have neither. They have no money and they have no influence to be able to produce pressure on the teachers themselves or on the unions themselves to be able to be back in school in a normal fashion. And we used to protect the kids and watch out for them and place them as our highest priority. Unfortunately, during COVID, I don't think that is what happened. And it's sad to see. So, Kayla, we hear terms like equity and inclusion being used regularly in an attempt to close the wide achievement gap that we see between white students and students of color here in the state of Minnesota. How would you describe the Rosemount Apple Valley Eagan School District's usage of equity in the district's classroom. How much of a factor is critical race theory and Black Lives Matter in the district's curriculums? And what are you hearing from parents in terms of their responses to equity in the classroom?
Yeah, before I answer all those questions, I mean, I just want to first say I believe that every child, no matter their gender, race, ethnicity, income status, or background, deserves every opportunity to succeed. Mm-hmm. Having worked with diverse groups of children of all backgrounds, as well as my study in early childhood youth and development, has shown me that every child learns, develops, and hits stages and milestones differently. Some children may need additional assistance in getting to some of those basic standards, where some students may need more challenging coursework to mm-hmm. keep them engaged and active in school. All students deserve our support and to succeed. In District 196, we do have a director and a coordinator of equity and inclusions department with taxpayer-funded salaries to people whose job is to bring the equity and inclusion philosophy into the schools. The district also has a policy to create a culture of respect in each building, and their policy 503.8AR. District 196 schools are expected to establish a culture of respect. The district and schools will establish strategies for creating a positive school climate and will use evidence-based social-emotional learning to prevent the reduced discrimination to others and proper conduct. The only thing they are leaving out in the views of the people that they don't agree with, which should show them the need to be more inclusive. This doesn't feel very inclusive to some members of the school community, but the policy states that they welcome all. It should be renamed if you aren't going to welcome all, and not just those whose viewpoints are the same ideas as us, and everyone else is not as important as a person. Like, the school's job is to educate and have curriculum that produces results, or at the very least be teaching children how to have open discussions respectfully and not attack because someone has a different opinion. That's what's great about our country, is that we are made up of individuals allowed to freely think our own opinions and not all be copies of each other. If we raise the bar high, our future generation will rise higher to meet those standards. But if we put the bar low so everyone meets the bare minimum, then we are not helping these kids but failing their future. We are not setting them up for the real world, and these theories of judging someone on their skin tone rather than their character should not be in our schools.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I was going to say, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Are you hearing something from parents at all? What are they saying?
Yeah, I mean, just recently, we at Apple Valley High School, they just had a gun incident in regards to a fight. And, you know, social media plays a big part in school culture today. I know it's not in the curriculum itself, but it's in the lives of these kids. And they see things online, and it spreads very quickly, and rumors start, and bullying happens that way, too. But I've heard from parents when speaking to them, they want schools to be focused on the academics, not this idea of characterizing something based on your skin tone or giving them multiple chances. Like, I know one school district is taking out the F grade or giving them multiple chances to complete a test where they can, with social media and texting, they can test or text the answers to each other, or they can, with the multiple choice, they can just try four different times and eventually they'll get it right.
You're hearing parents complain about the
their kids and their engagements with other children as well.
Okay.
And I want to bring John Ficadenti into this discussion. Haley, you just mentioned about some of the grading changes that are taking place. White Bear Lake is experiencing that right now. That was in the national news in September. John, what do you think of the current grading changes that you're seeing being rolled out in your district? And talk also about the removal of honors classes for middle school students in the district.
Well, I mean, it goes without saying. It's absolutely horrible. I mean, you're watering down. You know, listen, we have a huge investment in these schools. White Bear Lake, we just passed a referendum of $325 million for our school districts. We have some of the highest paid school teachers throughout the metro area. It's an injustice for us to take the F away from the student. How are we measuring our success with these students by watering this down?
Yep.
The achievement gap, you know, you need Fs, you need Cs, you need Bs, you need As. You need to step up the academics,
right?
Okay? For us to water this down, it's been big news, and parents are extremely frustrated about this. It doesn't do anybody any good. Okay.
Yep.
So we're not happy. We're not happy with this at all, and that's one of the main reasons I'm running for school board. I will change that.
Okay.
Yeah, I know parents. I mean, that's what I hear from parents too, is that they want the focus on academics. They are not interested in all these extra peripheral things that seem to be dominating what the schools are taking their time to do.
You know,
well, and you know, excuse me, but you know, yeah. And the state of Minnesota just passed the largest education bill ever. I think it was $32 billion. Okay, so money is not the problem anymore.
No,
we have well-paid teachers.
Mm-hmm.
We have well-paid teachers. We gave them what they wanted. Now we want to get excellence in academics back here in White Bear schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What you know, you were mentioning that's why you're running for school board. I mean, you know, what needs to change specifically at the school board level? I mean, within the district's leadership to create these improvements that you're talking about.
Well, you know, we did the League of Women Voters. We did a little candidates forum, and they talked, what is the role of the school board with curriculum? And the current regime said we really don't do much with the curriculum at all. We leave it up to the teachers. They said we follow all MDA guidelines. Every one of them said we follow, we follow, we follow. I say it's time for us to lead because what we're currently doing is not working. Okay,
right.
I don't want to follow anybody anymore, especially when I'm hearing principals at Sunrise Middle School that want to eliminate the F. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not following that. I'm gonna go to school districts like the Sartell School District superintendent, who's doing very well, and find out what formula are they using, because the status quo at White Bear Schools is not cutting it. Okay, so we need to think outside of the box, and we need that. That's what you do as you have, like I said earlier, you have to evaluate the strengths and the weaknesses of your school district, and you have to be able to change and make it for the better.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and it's good that is what your goal is as a board member. And we're down to just our last couple of minutes. So, Kayla and John, it would be great if each of you could just very quickly state, you know, why should somebody vote for you for school board? Let's start with you, Kayla.
Yeah, I mean, my elevator pitch would be the biggest thing I would tell voters out there whose children may be out of schools or who may not even have children is to get out and vote. It's really important. Our community's future is based on the success of our children. It is so important because the fact that our schools take a lot of our tax dollars, these schools are filled with the next generation of leaders and more. If you want a safe community that everyone wants to move to, you have to have a safe and effective schools that produce results and not the bare minimum to meet number goals. Hmm. Our schools are the children's stepping stone for the future, and we must keep our schools open for education to learn life skills and not to memorize and have many students feel we want them engaged in not only your school, but the community.
Yep.
I'm going to
cut you off
so
I can
fine.
Give John some time, too. So very good, Kayla. And John, how about you? Why should people vote for you?
You know, and I basically said it all. You have to have the strengths and the ability to evaluate your current school district. You have to make tough decisions, keep the administration accountable. But, you know, the teachers have these kids for a captive audience for 6-7 hours. We want to make sure that they're using the best use of time. And a new broom sweeps cleaner. I think that the current school board, if they're in the private sector, they'd be fired. So I'm stepping in. I want to participate. And if I can't get it done in 4 years, I'll step down as well, too. But I want the opportunity.
Hmm. Okay, very good. Well, Kayla and John, do you have websites that you want to quickly state?
I have a Facebook page. I have a Facebook page called Ficadenti for White Bear Lake School Board.
Okay, Ficadenti for White Bear Lake School Board. And the other one is Kayla Hauser from Apple Valley. And you can look her up and follow us on Facebook at SaveTheClassroom.com. That's on our Facebook, though. SaveTheClassroom.com is our website.
Well, go to the website.
And you can find our podcast there and find everything else as well. Thanks for joining us. Good night.